Have you ever had anyone tell you what you want? You probably have, right? When we're kids, our parents tell us what sports we should want to play or how well we should want to do in school. When we get a little older, we're told that we should want to go to college or work in certain career fields. We're told we should date this person and not that person, vote this way and not that way. It even happens in church. We're told what we should believe or how we should behave, but there's one big problem with this. Nobody wants to be told what they want. We are wired to resist this kind of communication because we intuitively perceive it as manipulative. So while we may go along with it for a while, we will inevitably shrug it off for the next thing. It doesn't stick to us. When I was in high school, I took one of those career assessment tests that's supposed to tell you what the best job will be for you when you're ready to enter the workforce. Now, I'll tell you what I got on that assessment in a second, but first, I want you to jump into the chat or into the comments and share a label that you've been given by others. What has someone else told you that you need to be? Maybe what did your career assessment in high school tell you you needed to be? When I finished that career assessment, I was a little shocked by the results. I was supposed to be an interior designer. I'm supposed to help people arrange their living rooms for a living? No thanks. But here's the really crazy thing. As a pastor, video editor, and web designer, I help people arrange their lives and videos and websites. I help people arrange the living rooms of communication and relationship. So maybe that assessment wasn't as far off as I thought, but because someone was telling me to do it, I refused to see it. Now that's a pretty lighthearted and low stakes example though. Aren't there times when we need to tell people what to do? We all have people in our lives that have destructive behaviors, right? Addictions to alcohol or drugs or work. People who say they love Jesus but are constantly tearing others down online and belittling them for their opinions. Isn't it our responsibility to lovingly reach out and correct them? To grab them by the hand and drag them back to the right path? To tell them the right way to do it? Maybe, but the problem is, even if that person does decide to change their behavior, it won't stick. The only reason they change is to gain our approval. Once they've got it or don't feel like they need it anymore, they'll go right back to whatever it was they were doing in the first place. So what are we supposed to do? If we are called to love people like Jesus did, we can't just stand by and watch people destroy their lives, right? Well, the answer, once again, is simple to say, but hard to live out. Stop telling people what they want and start telling them who they are. This is the example we see God set for us over and over in Scripture. God told Moses he was a leader and he became one. God told Gideon he was a warrior and he became one. Jesus told sick people they were whole and they became well. Don't tell people what they want. Tell them who they are. God found you right where you are, and you can find other people the same way, by being with them and telling them who they are, not what they've done and how ashamed they should be. Shame makes people hide. Shame creates secrets and dark places that make healing even harder. If you want to drive someone deeper into unhealthy behavior, shame is the fastest way to do it. Now, this illustration is kind of gross, but did you know if you're skydiving and your parachutes fail, hitting the ground isn't what kills you most of the time? Every bone in your body gets broken, but you probably won't die. What you do is bounce, and that's what gets you. When you hit the second time, all of those sharp, broken bones do some nasty stuff to your insides that's gonna finish you off. Most of us aren't skydivers, but the principle is the same in life. When we fall, when we fail, when we mess up big time, it's not the fall that kills us. It's the bounce. When the people that we love the most turn away from us when we are at our most vulnerable. The people that we expect to run towards us and catch us casually turn away, or worse, add to the weight of the shame that is pulling us back down again. If we want to love people like Jesus did, if we want to be a source of hope and healing in the lives of the people that we encounter, we need to catch people on the bounce. Run towards that person with open arms, like the father in the story of the prodigal son. He didn't reach out to the son and then remind him of all the mistakes he had made. He hugged him, kissed him, and reminded him who he was. He was the son, and he was loved. Don't let shame distance you from God, and don't let it distance you from others. I pray that God puts people in your path that will catch you on the bounce. We all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we are ashamed of, every single one of us. And the best way to express your faith is to tell people who they are becoming. And if we're trying to live like Jesus, we are becoming love. Follow Jesus to people who are hurting, who have hit the ground hard, and catch them on the bounce. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would use us to be a people when we encounter ugliness in the world, when we encounter brokenness, when we encounter hurt. God, when we see it in our own houses, in the midst of arguments and disagreements, when we see it at work with coworkers, when we see it at the grocery store. God, I pray that you would call us, that you would make us into a people that are there to catch others on the bounce. That you would give us the strength and the courage to rush in to that ugly situation, whatever it may be, and to remind people who they are and whose they are before they hit the ground again. God, use us as a people who are reflections, bright reflections of your light and your love in the world. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.